second time in 2 months that I've been asked to preach about very difficult, harsh scriptures. It's not quite as harsh as the one I was asked to preach in England, but then the sermon's longer, so I don't know if that's better or worse. But let's dig into them and see indeed what the Spirit is trying to say to us here at Grace Church in Lancaster. First Luke, the hardest one first. We are confronted with the need to embrace the new age of Jesus or to cling to the old, to families where we keep the peace by not telling the truth, to traditions that no longer serve us as times change. There are hints of the end times in this passage. Jesus has come to bring peace, but first there will be division and there will be struggle. Things may be hard for us today. Jesus may be right. There's already division. And things are hard. You haven't had a settled pastor for months. I come to this church on a regular basis for a meeting for our association, but I was also here on Mindy Quailhorse last Sunday, last November. That's a long time to not have a settled pastor, and I rejoice with you that there is good news coming. And discerning and prayers to let that come to fruition. There are families nearby that are torn apart by drugs or violence. There are families torn apart at our government's borders and kept in cages. Some families are divided by politics, and some people don't talk to other people anymore, and they're dreading the next election. There's unemployment. There's too much rain for the farmers, then there's not enough rain. Guns are turned on innocent people, and school children have intruder drills. There's too little love and too much hunger. We want Jesus to bring peace and wholeness, love and joy, and instead, this part talks about division. What are we to do? As hard as it is to hear, perhaps there is some truth in the reminder that the signs of change are all around us, in this day as in Jesus' own day. Perhaps Jesus is reminding us once again, and sadly not subtly, that it's time to put our trust solely in Him. Maybe this week the challenge is in the gospel and the good news is in the epistle lesson. For this chapter in Hebrews has great hope for us. And I thank Jack for reading it so clearly that we could see those people who, by faith, followed God. There's hope and promise in Hebrews that God, who has worked miracles in the past, will do even greater things, it says, through us who know and follow Jesus Christ. The idea of liturgical processions, of parades, runs through chapter 11 in Hebrews. And I don't know if you've heard it a little bit for the last couple weeks, but if you haven't, hear it today. And if you had, maybe I'll let you hear it in a new way. We'll see. My idea for children's time came from an older elementary science fiction book by Jane Langton called The Diamond in the Window. It is not a new book. It's one that I read first with my children who are now in their early 30s. It's a book about good and evil and the struggle between them. Just over halfway into the book, the two primary characters, a young brother and sister, see a vision of a procession. It begins almost in the midst of time. The clothes change. That's one of your major clues throughout the procession. And all throughout it, there is a woman standing, steadfast. Her name is Mrs. Truth, and she holds up a torch. Many of the people who pass by her add their light to her torch, and sometimes it shines strong and bright. These are people like the ones talked about in our epistle lesson. The people of the Exodus, when the Red Sea parts and they walk across on dry land into freedom. People like Rahab, who wasn't well thought of by her neighbors, who shelters the people of God. David and the prophet Samuel, whose mother Hannah prayed fiercely for his birth. Daniel in the lion's den, and the three young men in the fiery furnace. Ruth, who followed her mother-in-law Naomi back to her country, and who became an ancestor of David and then of Jesus. All of these added their light to the world while they were living, and they made it possible for us to be here. In Jane Langton's book, one man appears in the procession with a light as bright as the sun. She writes, "He walked heavily. His shoulders bowed a little bit as though the weight of the world was on them. He was followed by 12 men." She doesn't name him, but there is Jesus. As bright as the sun, one of the names the Bible gives him is the morning sun, who rises every day for us, the light of the world, who knows our pain and our sorrows, who knows our divisions, and who calls us to read the signs of the times. Jane Langton's procession continues, as does the writer of Hebrews, with persons of all persuasions and nationalities. Some of them have lights that burn brightly. Others may only have an ember, but each person of goodwill, those whom the angels sang about at Jesus' birth, referred to when they sang to the shepherds, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth toward persons of goodwill." Each of them adds something to the procession of light. Our songs today are part of that procession. How Firm a Foundation was written in the late 1700s, and based on scriptures almost word for word, includes lines like, "God will be with you. I will never, no, never forsake you." That's God's promise to us. At the end of the service, we'll sing a hymn called Forward Through the Ages that you will know the tune, I think, written in 1908, and it talks about the procession that goes in unbroken line to the reign of God. And in a few moments, we'll sing, and I just realized, were we supposed to sing that before this? Did I miss it? Sorry, we will sing it. We'll sing it right after the sermon. Shucks. Ah, Give Thanks for Life. Give Thanks for Life by a woman from New Zealand that I actually met a couple years before she wrote this hymn. She's a Presbyterian pastor's wife. And again, it will be to a tune that I think you know. And I think the text is stunning. And I'm sorry we haven't already sung it, but pay attention when we do, because there's an image in there which she calls the Christ flame, because that's what this procession is about, the Christ flame. I don't know about you, but I want to be a person of that Christ flame. I want to be a person of the light. I want to pay attention to what's happening in the world, hard as it is, and it makes me cry every day. It does. I can't help it. But I hold it up next to God's promises, and I see where the similarities are, because I also see grace every single day. Not your church, but God's grace in the world. And where are our challenges? Where's my challenge today to be a person of the light? Because I want to say there is a better way. There is more light to be had. We can do better than we have done. I need to believe God's promises and to count on them with all of my life. I need to know in my heart and my mind the ways of Jesus, even when they seem hard, and that they are the best ways for humanity. The signs of the present time may be discouraging, and I think they are. but we know something that sometimes the world forgets, and we need to help the world remember that God is in charge today and tomorrow and has been in the past and will always be. We are surrounded by an incredible cloud of witnesses. From Scripture, from the history of the world and the church, people who bore the light of Christ. Our grandparents and parents in the faith, the people who believed in us and who taught us that coming to church on Sunday morning was a good and useful thing for maintaining the kind of life that we meant to live, to be our best selves. Persons living and dead who live lives of goodwill and love. Take a moment. Think for a minute of the people who have been faithful to you and to God through their lives, who have set you an example. Sometimes once I start thinking about them, they start crowding into my head because there are so many people who have shown me how to live as Christ lived. Our friends and the people who love us today, even when we are not our best selves. Jesus, who is on our side and challenges us every day to be the best human being we can be, who has made a way for us in the wilderness of this world, and who gives us faith. Faith that we will make it through today, and that God will triumph, and that good will triumph. So we want to be on that side, because it's the good thing, it's the loving thing, it's the kind thing, and it's ultimately also the righteous thing. The Holy Spirit, who strengthens us and nourishes us in faith every day. God, our mother and father, who created us in love with amazing potential for love and mercy, and who calls us to draw on that potential for the good of the whole world. The reading from the letter to Hebrews ends, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarded its shame, and he has taken his hand at the right hand of the throne of God. Grace Church, lay aside whatever holds you back, whatever is weighing you down, so that you can run with perseverance, with faith, and eventually with joy, the race that is set before you, because God is with you every step of the way. Thanks be to God."